Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
All right, everybody. It is Thursday night, May 29th, 2025. The month of May has come and gone. You are listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the ChairShot Radio Network. As always, you can find us on thechairshot.com and everywhere that you listen to your podcasts, all your favorite podcasting platforms. I am the man with the award-winning and holy and recently groomed beard. I don't think either one of my guys have noticed it, but this thing is like more than half gone from what it was last week. I needed a big trim up on the beard. It was just getting a little crazy, a little out of control. Now I'm much more comfortable, ready to podcast, ready to talk some wrestling. But before I do, I want to introduce my co-hosts on this show, starting with the Rob the Genius podcast host. He is the minister of truth, the father of facts and figures, the deacon of data. He is the official shoot bearer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. He's the king of the power nap, Ray Cash's daddy, and the man with the golden shovel. Mr. Rob, sir, how's your week?
Not too bad. Can't complain.
Good, good. And the resident high flyer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. He hails from the Purple Haze and Cloud Nine. Bucky's tag team partner, the man with the bionic back, destined to go through a barbershop window. Jason, sir, how are you?
I am wonderful, friends. It's a fantastic happenstance to be here.
And we, as always, are glad you are here, Jason. We're glad the listeners have come back. We got a lot of wrestling to talk this weekend. We had a big, big weekend of wrestling. We had Saturday night's main event. We had NXT Battleground. We had Double or Nothing from AEW. There's a lot to talk about, a lot to go over, a lot of big news, a lot of big storylines and angles. Before we get into that, we do have to pay our respects and say goodbye to one Rick Derringer, legendary rocker, most notable in the wrestling circles for doing Hulk Hogan's Real American and the theme to Demolition, which I totally forgot until the other day and somebody mentioned it, as well as other rock hits, you know, over the 70s and 80s. But yeah, Rick Derringer, if you're a wrestling fan that goes as far back as me and Rob, and, you know, Rick Derringer was a part of that childhood and his music.
Yeah, and look, any wrestling fan knows that, look, your theme music can get you over as much as anything you do in the ring or anything you do on mic. It's a part of who you are. And, you know, Real American was very much a part of Hulk Hogan and, you know, and Hulkamania. And it's
look,
just
man, as we like to do on this show, we like to talk about Hulk Hogan, the character and the historical figure, and that is where the talking ends. That's an all-time. If you said it's the greatest theme song of all time, I can't really argue with you.
Yeah.
At that point.
Yeah, I mean, and because look, one of the images or sounds of the 1980s WWF was WrestleMania 3 and Hogan slammed Andre, Hogan pinned Andre, and Andre, you know, going back to the back with his head hanging and Hogan in the ring posing and, you know, pointing to the man upstairs while Real American was playing. That was like the first big part of like WWE lore from, or one of the first parts from the Vince McMahon. And Rick Derringer was a guy playing and singing on that. And then the Demolition theme was, that was one of the things that actually got them from being, you know, dime store hawking animal to a legit tag team in their own right. That song. I mean, that song helped them. It was it made a difference.
Well, and that spotlights how important having a good theme song is to your identity. And, you know, kudos to, and I don't know who made this call, but I think I told you guys in the private chat, and if I'm wrong, I'm sure someone will correct me, the Real American did not start off as Hulk Hogan's theme song. If I'm not mistaken, it was Mike Rotunda and Barry Windham's theme song for a short period of time. And then I don't know whether Vince made the call or somebody pulled him aside and said, hey, look, if this is what you're going to do with this Hogan guy, this is the song you want to use for him. And ultimately that song, and it was the right decision, because that really, not only did that song embed Hogan in Americana, it was part of the package. You know, one was the look of the guy, two was the charisma of the guy, but yeah, and I think he would have been probably what he was without the theme song, but that theme song just enhanced the entire package. And like Rob was just saying, it did the same thing for Demolition, you know, because that, and to me, in a lot of ways, I think that song was more identifiable because it literally calls them by name in the song. So whoever wrote it looked at these guys and said, well, Rick Derringer, I say whoever wrote it. You know, Rick Derringer, if it was produced specifically for them, Rick Derringer looked at them and said, okay, I've got this idea. And to me, that's just genius, that you can look at them and this song can immediately start playing in your head. And again, it becomes just as much a part of their characters as them being in the ring ever did.
Yeah, and he used to Rick. So Rick and Jimmy Hart were basically, they were kind of the predecessor to Jim Johnson, who, you know, who we all, you know and love and talk about highly now.
Yeah.
And it you know, again, it matters. And that was, I think, Real American was like the first kind of original WWE theme song to really go anywhere. And because other than that, I mean, like, you know, because at that point, you know, everybody was just using, they were using quote unquote licensed music, or in other words,
right,
we're going to play this popular song, but they're not looking for us because we're a silly wrestling show. So the record company isn't looking for us to sue us for using their music. that's kind of how it was back then.
Yeah. You just hoped you didn't get caught.
Yeah. And so, this was probably one of those wacky Vince ideas, like, we need to make our own music, pal.
Read somewhere that Vince hated paying royalties, because obviously when you're the biggest game in town, they are going to start to notice you, you know, which is probably why JYD stopped using Another One Bites the Dust, because he was coming out to that for a little while before they came up with Grab Them Cakes. There was, I think that was a Vince thing entirely, because he didn't want to pay royalties.
Yeah, but if they couldn't come up with any good songs, they would have been back to using the licensed music. So
yeah, I mean, Rick Derringer has his place. Thank the wrestling gods they found Jim Johnson. And that's a whole discussion for another day. I don't want to get down that because we're talking Rick Derringer. But yeah, absolutely important to, you know, wrestling Americana.
Yeah, so salute Rick Derringer. Rest in peace, buddy.
Yeah. Jason, you got anything on this before we move out?
No, just it's everything you guys just said. He's an icon, so, you know, rest in peace, sir.
Yeah. All right, well, let's move on from that. Like I said at the beginning of the episode, we had a lot of wrestling this weekend. Like, we got fed as wrestling fans over the last, from Friday to, well, really, realistically, Wednesday, you know, over the course of 6 days. You know, wrestling fans, you know, WWE, AEW, TNA, NXT, we got fed a lot of really good stuff this weekend. We're going to pick some of it apart. We're not going to go too deep into the woods on anything, but I do want to start with Saturday night's main event. I thought, and I don't think, Rob, you haven't seen it, you said, right?
No, I saw Saturday night's main event. I didn't see Battleground.
Oh, it's Battleground you haven't seen. Okay, that's right. You told me that. Yeah. Saturday night's main event I thought was perfectly fine. I thought the cage match between Drew and Priest was really good.
They served up violence, which in the end was all we were looking for. So
yeah,
that was awesome.
Yeah, and shout out, kudos for bringing back the Bruno finish to the cage match.
Yeah.
I loved it, man. So many people, like, obviously, the big story coming out of that was Jesse the Body complaining about Priest just leaving the cage. And I'm like, he's like, this is never, Jesse's acting like it's some egregious thing that nobody's ever done before. And I'm like, brother, you were part of the Bruno era. You were on shows, probably, or at least watching when Bruno used to do that on a regular.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, man. So for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, Bruno Sammartino, he would do cage matches for his big blow-off match all the time. And what he would do, basically, like, the match would go back and forth for a little while, and then he would get fed up, and he would just beat the shit out of the heel and then leave them laying and just walk out the door.
It's great.
Yeah, and there are just some, there's some videos, and they are amazing. Just seeing him just beat the dog shit out of somebody like Stan Hansen and say, okay, I'm done with this guy. Open the door.
Leaves him laying in a bloody heap, and he just walks out the door. What a great finish. And they brought that back. And I'm, you know, well, guys like mine and Rob's age will pick up on that. A lot of younger people probably bellyached about it because they want a definitive finish. But to me, I think it's a bigger insult doing what Priest did to Drew. Just, I could pin you, but I don't need to. I'm done with you. I'm leaving the cage. That's a bold-ass statement.
Yeah.
No, I totally agree. That's the entire point. It's the disdain with which you, that, like, leaving the cage, if you do it right, is one of the coolest ways to win.
It is. And I guess Streets are saying that with the finish of that match, obviously Priest hit Drew with the concerto. Word on the streets is that Drew has been working with an injured neck and that he may be taking some time off to see what's going on with that. Hopefully it's nothing serious. Hopefully it's nothing, a little bit of rest and relaxation and maybe some rehab. So, you know, Drew McIntyre, take it easy. Get yourself healthy, buddy.
Yeah, and look, Drew's like 6'5". When you're 6'5" or taller, neck, back, knees, just, you know.
Well, and he goes hard. Like, it's not like he's out there half-assing it. I've never seen Drew McIntyre half-ass it ever.
Yeah.
You know, so that guy goes hard all the time, every time. And I would say in all the years I've been watching him, the last 2 to 3, when you speak in terms of, you know, the feud with Priest has been violent. He had, because he, you know, knocked him, he knocked his head pretty hard at the match. Backlash?
WrestleMania, I think.
It was Backlash. He was in the tag match or something, and he was fighting with Priest, and Priest did the South of Heaven through the table.
The four-way match or something.
Yeah, the four-way match. That's what it was, the tag match. Yeah. The four-way match. But Priest hit the South of Heaven on that table, and Drew's head kind of missed the table and cracked the pavement. So the dude's been a workhorse. Then that's not even mentioning the matches with Gunther and Sheamus a couple of years ago where they beat the absolute dog tar out of each other.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Drew doesn't go. He doesn't go easy, man. And it takes its toll, so heal up. So, other big news. We had a couple big things. Cody Rhodes came back. And the American Nightmare was back. That was neat. You know, it's setting up for a tag match. It's Cody and Jay versus... I just fell right out of my head.
Cena and Logan Paul.
Cena and Logan Paul. That's right. So I think that'll be fine. You know, that's at Money in the Bank, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I loved R-Truth's entrance, and the callback to the last time he and Cena had a match against each other was it was Capital Punishment, I think 2011.
Yeah.
So he was wearing the same T-shirt and hat that Cena wore coming to the ring for that match. I guess my only issue, I wish they'd given him a few more minutes, because, I mean, we see, you know, we know R-Truth is it's kind of a comedy sports entertainment act now, but back when he was, like, Ron the Truth Killings was a former NWA world champion, and he can, actually, when it's time, if it's time to actually wrestle seriously, he can do that. And so this match only went about 4 or 5 minutes. I do wish they had given them maybe just 10. you know, just so he could show a little more what he can act, what he's actually capable of.
Yeah, I what I wanted, and like I said, I enjoyed it. I told you guys, I was very sports entertained with this. It hit the right beats emotionally for me. But I think I would have, like Rob, would like to have seen R-Truth turn the clock back a little bit. Remember his heel run back when Cena and The Rock were feuding, back when Rob and I first got back into this? And he had the Awesome Truth? Is that what they were calling themselves?
Yeah.
They were a tag team, and it was a heel run, and for me, at least as far as his WWE stuff goes, that was some of Truth's best serious work. Like, he was a serious heel. He was, and I thought we were going to get that guy back for one night, and we just didn't. So, slightly disappointed in that, but I was entertained by the match. Jason, what do you think?
Excuse me. I think, like you guys, it should have been a little longer, but it's also there to establish evil villain Cena. So, yeah, I can't. I see both sides of it, but yeah, I would have liked to see more. But I mean, man, I think Cena's just crushing this thing. I don't know when The Rock's gonna come back or when that's ever gonna. I think that's still going to bear fruit somewhere. I just refuse to believe it's not. But yeah, man. Just his whole thing with R-Truth was incredible. So this run has been amazing.
Yeah. The other big notable thing to come out of Saturday night's main event, you know, you've had Seth Rollins and Badass Braun Breaker and Paul Heyman teamed up for a couple weeks now, and they've been seemingly outnumbered. And the question has been, who's the third guy? Who's the third guy? They answered that question in a huge manner, literally and figuratively speaking, with Bronson Reed joining this, I guess they're a quartet now. Good to see him back. I really thought he was going to be out longer.
Yes.
Broke what? Both of his ankles at War Games last year?
Yeah, either one or both, but either way, it was bad. Yeah, he did the tsunami through the table, and yeah, and then. So yeah, I thought he was going to be gone longer too.
And the neat thing about this, and a lot of people asking a lot of questions, and they haven't really answered this yet, Seth Rollins and Bronson Reed had a nasty feud last year before all that broke down. Before Bronson got hurt, they had a couple really good matches. Seth beat Bronson in the blow-off match, but they made it very clear that there was still more between the two of them. So, you know, a lot of people on the internet were like, well, this doesn't make any sense. Make it make sense to me. And to me, it makes perfect sense. If you're a guy who's trying to put a group together, a dominant group, wouldn't you want to go hire the guy that took you to the limit? The guy who gave you six tsunamis? I mean, yeah, if you're looking for dominance, you want to find a dominant partner. Who more dominant than the guy that beat your ass? You know, Bronson Reed. So you know, what do they say?
Well, wasn't that kind of his justification on Monday?
Yeah, so basically they said that, so.
Yeah. So that answers that question. What do they say? The enemy of my enemy is my friend. Is that how the saying goes? Yep. And it's really not, it's a very simple math to put all that together. All in all, I had fun with Saturday night's main event. I know a lot of people were side-eyed in a certain way. I know Rob's got some thoughts. For me, I looked at it like I do every other Saturday night's main event since I've been watching the first one. It's a side road. It's not a premium live event. It's not an episode of Raw or SmackDown. It's meant to further some things along and draw in a different audience. Rob, what do you got?
Yeah, I mean, so it's, I mean, in the past, Saturday night's main event was used, you know, sometimes to start a storyline or to transition from one to the next one. Like one time in particular, and sometimes it was a blow-off match. Like, they had a blow-off match between Hulk Hogan and the Big Boss Man in a cage match once. It was really good. But, you know, the powers coming together started on Saturday night's main event. And so it's used for things like that. The matches themselves are just a conduit. I mean, and, you know, and then, and that's what we got here, right? We got Bronson Reed coming in for Seth's group, right? That's all. And like the opening match was a really good match. Okay.
Oh yeah.
I, I mean, people got opinions about the other matches, and we can, you know, and they were just, you know, other than the cage match, the other matches were kind of just there, you know, but, I mean, the opening match was really good. And that opening match belonged right on Raw or SmackDown. Or you could have even, look, you could have thrown that match on a PLE and maybe give it a few more minutes or whatever. I mean, that match, the opening match was really good. But, and that's how Saturday Night's main event it is. Like, there will be one match that is really good and it holds up against anything on any other show. Right? And then it's mostly used as a conduit for things. So, no, you're not going to get, like, you know, WrestleMania on a Saturday night.
No, these are three shows that are probably a step above house shows. And realistically, house shows are fun. Like, if you've never been to a WWE house show, you're missing out. They're a hell of a lot of fun.
Yeah. And so, you know, to that end, I mean, it's, you know, I think if you're taking the time to write a full on negative review of Saturday Night's main event, or if you're making some, you know, hour long YouTube video about how bad Saturday Night's main event is, please just stop it. Stop.
Yeah. Jason, you got any thoughts on Saturday Night's main event?
No, other than what Rob said, I mean, it's not supposed to be this be all end all thing, but it is consequential, and it was. So, and they put on some good stuff. It's not supposed to be WrestleMania. It's not supposed to be WrestlePalooza. It's like you guys said, it's to draw in a different audience as well. There's a reason it's on network television. So.
All I want to say to you guys is stop being. Stop being nerds about this shit, okay? It's perfectly fine. All right. We are going to talk NXT Battleground. Unfortunately, Rob is probably going to get... You probably had most of it spoiled, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah. You know what happened. I'm not worried about that.
So, Jason's going to kind of take, as customary on this show, Jason's going to take over the duties of going through the card. We're going to talk about that a little bit because there's actually some stuff to talk about. It was a good show from top to bottom, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, we started off with a fun little match with Sol Ruka and Kalani Jordan. They fought for the NXT title, or NXT Women's North American title. Sol Ruka was defending, and they are cooking, man. I think they're just kind of coming along in all the ways you want them to. North American title is right where they should be, and they put on an awesome match. And that I don't care how contrived it was, that that soul snatcher at the end was amazing. DJ, what'd you think?
I thought it was a really good match, and I again, this was one of those ones because we've been a bit critical of Saul and Kehlani over some of the contrived stuff. I saw some things and some growth and some development that I really, really liked out of both of these girls on Saturday or Sunday. It was Sunday. God, this weekend was crazy for me because I had 4 days off. So, like, Saturday through Tuesday was all one long day. But anyway, I like this new attitude that Kalani has. It's a bit more aggressive. I saw some submission holds in there, some rest holds. I saw them slow down the quicker stuff a bit and letting the moment breathe. There were still some spots where I'm like, as I told you guys over some other things earlier today, I have to do some meditative breathing over it. and if I'm going to criticize the people on the Root Beer show, I'm going to criticize the people on the WWE and the NXT side of things too. It's hard for me to watch some of that. I can appreciate the athleticism that goes into it. I could never do it back in my day. But all that being said, I saw growth from both of these girls. I think 5 years down the road with both of them, we've got two incredibly amazing talents. You know, Kehlani has shown growth as a character. She is not just this bubbly, hey, smiling, glad to be here chick. She's like, wait a minute, no, I'm here to beat some ass because I want to get back on top. And, you know, and Sol Ruka just is just a charismatic gem. Like, she really is. I'm going to have a tear in my eye when Zarya finally turns on her. Like, it's going to happen. Because I'm such a fan of the two of them together. They have such good chemistry that when that happens, I'm going to shed a tear, man.
Yeah, that one's going to hurt. Rob, do you have anything to add?
Nope, because I didn't.
Rob's going to be largely silent.
I was a traitor to my E Drone brethren this weekend. I was watching the root beer pay per view.
Oh boy!
Boo!
Rob's going to talk about that at the end of the show, and Jason and I will go grab a beer or something.
So. Next up, we had Sean Spears' faction, the Culling, taking on, which is Brooks Jensen and Nico Vance, along with Izzy Dame now, taking on Hank and Tank and Josh Briggs, and obviously, wow. I'm still kind of like, seeing Sean Spears in WWE as Sean Spears is still kind of surreal, even though it's been a while. And him doing this Culling thing is exactly where he should be. He's a mid-card villain, and that's not an insult.
Right.
You have to have these guys, and he can be spooky or he can be serious, and you really don't care at that level when they're moving around in those two zones. So yeah. And he's great at it. He's so great at the comic book villain. Like, all his promos are awesome. Anyway, sidetracked, because Hank and Tank and Josh Briggs ended up winning because the good guys beat the bad guys. I had no complaints about this match. It was tons of fun. DJ?
Yeah, I had a lot of fun with this one. Hank and Tank are a joy. I'm glad to see Josh Briggs getting this opportunity at showing a bit more character other than the Smoking Guns 2.0. I like it. I dig it. As far as the Culling, for me, and maybe this is just my casual observation, they are what everyone thought Schism was going to be. And I like it. Okay. Like, and I mean that as a compliment.
Fair. I like that. All right. So next up we had for Control of the Family, we had Channing Stacks Lorenzo versus Tony D. These two beat the ever-loving bag out of each other. And Channing Tatum every time I say his name. Stacks ended up winning.
No, he's Italian. So DJ, he's
what do you think
Creole.
Of this new development with the family?
Yeah, I thought this match was fun. I guess the next question is, what's next for Tony D? If Stacks is going to take over the family, is Tony D... I'm expecting a slight gimmick tweak, and Tony D gets called up.
Okay. Well, so next up we had the NXT North. NXT Women's Championship match. Stephanie Vaquer defended her championship against Jordynne Grace, and this went exactly as I expected it to. These two had an awesome match. Jordynne Grace looked amazing. So did Stephanie. And, Stephanie ended up winning. BJ, we're going to go over this real quick because we're probably going to talk about what happened to Stephanie on Tuesday. But what did you think of this match?
I thought this was probably the match of the night for me. Those women killed it. Stephanie's so good. Jordynne's so good. What I'm saying there leads into the speculation that's going on now and what the streets are saying as far as both of their futures. I expected no less from these two, and I got probably every bit of what I wanted to out of it. Great match, and Right Girl won.
Well, yeah, because on Tuesday she ended up losing her title to JC Jane. So
that was crazy.
What happened?
I think everybody was shocked because they were kind of doing a tease with I almost called them Toxic Attraction, but they're not Toxic Attraction, they're Fatal Influence.
Fatal Influence, not to be confused, Rob.
But they were teasing like Dissension and all that, and then it all turned out to be a ruse. And
all in all, I kind of like it. like, it's okay, even if Stephanie isn't, like, going up to the main roster or anything like that, like, it's okay for the villain to, like, win like this, and it's okay for it not to go along like, oh, that's not, like, how you book a wrestling show. It's like, okay, well, that's true, but we also have to once in a while suspend our disbelief that this is a, you know, fictional fighting promotion. And sometimes shit like this happens, especially when it ends up being 3-on-1. So, and JC, you know, my God, she's been there since 2020. So she's, everything about this checks, guys.
Well, because now look at the elephant in the room here is that there are people who think that, you know, of all the people to beat Stephanie, it should not have been her.
Yeah, and that's where I come back with my comic book response. I'm like, yes, that's what you're supposed to think. And that's why it also took 3-on-1 to do it.
Well, but I mean, but, you know, but we're getting to the, you know, she's not worthy of beating the
Stephanie McMahon.
That's what I'm talking about.
And that, to that I say, she's been there since 2020.
Yeah. Woman didn't beat Stephanie McMahon. Three did.
Yeah.
That's the way you got to look at this stuff, and it's okay.
And again, for as far as deserved, the lady has been there since 2020. She, you know, some of her gimmick changes haven't been entirely her fault, or her gimmicks, you know, having to change. And yeah, she's great. So stick it in your ear.
Yeah, I mean, the you deserve it crowd. I guess you only deserve it if they're one of your favorites.
And it happens exactly the way you want it when as soon as the other person's ready to lose the title, and you know it happens between this pay per view and that pay per view, and then it's okay, DJ.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I got you. I'm not like a full card carrying member of the IWC, so I don't always know all the rules.
I believe that at certain times that does have a place. Like we were saying about Roman after a certain point. It's like, sorry, this only happens at WrestleMania. And yeah, you can get to that point. But Stephanie wasn't there.
Right.
There are people who think that this is like a... Well, there's people who think she's not good enough. And because she's not... They don't think she's very good, and they don't think that somebody they think is not very good should be beating Stephanie McMahon, and that's
she sports entertains, and that's what they are actually still developmentaling people to do down there is sports entertain, and she's fucking sports entertaining, and she's been that for years.
I don't disagree, and what I would say to those people is one, it's developmental. It is the developmental women's championship. And that's not a knock on it or anything, but
well, keeping it in that same, they did the same thing when Mandy Rose won it, and with who Mandy Rose defeated. Because everybody, us included, and we have to be fair here, when Mandy Rose first won that championship, we all went, what? Her?
Yeah.
And she turned it into something. And I'm not saying that, you know, JC's going to be exactly that, but this is perfectly okay. Mandy Rose went out there and reinvented herself while being champion. I think this is do or die time for JC Jane, because... And you hate to talk about it in this sense, but she's one of those ones where when we talk about releases, we don't want anybody to get released, but there are people in NXT that it's like, okay, shit or get off the pot here. And
she's been there since 2020.
Right. It's like, okay, we're going to do something with her or we're not. They're doing something with her. So, and these same people that are saying she's not worthy would be complaining if she ended up on a release list.
Yeah, and look, if you can't take a flyer on somebody with a developmental championship, seriously?
Especially when the champion losing is like, I'm not saying there's not more runway, but guys, you know what you got with that girl at this point.
Yeah, and it's just
you know what you got with Stephanie. Yes. You got one. Like, period.
All right, why don't we move on for this? Because no one loses time crunch.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's
yeah. I mean, it's just
not
again,
as big a deal
I mean,
as people are making it out to be.
Right.
If we can't take a flyer on a developmental, because then where are you supposed to take a flyer?
A developmental person who's been there for 5 years. Let's take a flyer.
When you take a flyer,
I think she's going to do great. By the way, if a gun to my head, and I had to predict, she's going to be awesome. So I can't wait to gloat about that in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. So I mean, if you can't take a flyer on somebody in your developmental, then when are you going to do it? Because look, they took a flyer on, you know, Nikki A.S.H. in 2021, and y'all shit all over that. Okay.
Okay. All right, let's move on.
But when are you doing it?
I mean,
this was the perfect time.
The shoot bear's getting hot.
No, I'm just saying. Well, like, when, and look, I'm not even, look, I mean, yeah, you know, I'm very, you know, meh on JC. I think she's fine. But when do you, I mean, it's the developmental show. When are you supposed, I mean, if.
All right, Rob. You're
going to
be
all right. If they gave Tozawa the U.S. title or something, you know, then people would be going crazy. All right. I mean, but y'all want people to get chances. Y'all want them to try people who aren't the usual suspects. If you don't do that on the developmental, I mean, the developmental show is exactly where you should do something like that, because if it's great, then it's great. If it stinks, it's the developmental show.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Well, one match they didn't take a flyer on was Obafemi and Miles Bourne, because Miles put up a valiant fight, but was ultimately defeated by the Rula of NXT. DJ, what did you think of this contest? I know you're high on both these guys, as am I.
Both of these guys. I would say that Jordan Grace and Stephanie Bacoor had the best wrestling match of the night. For me, personally, this match was the most fun. I think these guys, like, I love watching Obafemi just beat the crap out of each other. Like, that's just one of my favorite things to watch on wrestling programming. But watching Miles go out here and really fight for his life and put up a good showing, they told a good story. And to me, that's what makes a great wrestling match, is if you can tell a good story, and they did here. And, you know, obviously, you know, unfortunately, Miles came up a little bit short, but he went out looking like a winner. As Bully Ray likes to say, Oba went over, Miles got over.
Yeah, that's a perfect way to put it. So in the last contest of the evening, we had the TNA world title defended on an NXT pay-per-view. Trick Williams challenged the TNA world heavyweight champion, Joe Hendry. And by God, for the first time ever, a WWE talent, an NXT superstar, is the TNA champion. DJ, what do you think of that?
That's wild, man. We talked about that last week on this show as to how that's going to play out if they do pull that trigger. I was a little surprised. I didn't think they were going to do it this soon. I really hope, and you know it's me, I'm the biggest e-drone in the room. I'll defend most of what WWE does to the death. But after the AEW-TNA partnership, and I'm not saying this is the same, let me preface what I'm going to say. After watching that, I don't want to see TNA get treated like the redheaded stepchild again. And right now, things are good. We're happy. Yay. And I love Trick. And I'm very excited to see where this is going, as long as the payoff is satisfactory. And that's going to be key here, is how they stick the landing versus how AEW did it. AEW shit the bed. like the whole angle with AEW and TNA just shit the bed. You know, with Tony coming in, cucking out Rich Swann, dropping the title to another AEW talent in Christian Cage, who then finally turned around and I don't even remember who he dropped it to.
It was Josh Alexander.
I thought it was Josh Alexander, but I wasn't 100% sure. I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention to TNA at the time, partly because of the involvement with AEW. I hope they stick the landing here. This is a great partnership. It's been a lot of fun so far. It's been a hell of a lot more interesting to me than the AEW one was. So I trust Sean as a booker and as a storyteller. I don't always trust the larger promotion in general when dealing with the smaller promotion. So I'm a little anxious about how this is going to work out for TNA, but I'm hopeful that they're going to be treated better than they were with their previous business partners. But the match itself was a lot of fun. Trick continuing to show that he is the face of that brand. Joe Hendry, the face of his brand. It'll be interesting to see TNA's tonight as we're recording. It'll be interesting to see how the locker room reacts to Joe Hendry, because he carried the entire brand on his shoulder Saturday or Sunday night and lost. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out with him and how Trick being their world heavyweight champion is going to affect that locker room on TV.
Yeah, now let me just say this partnership has been much better, and I'll give you a few examples of how. Okay, so first of all, they're both companies are using like their full rosters are getting to play with each other. All right, so from Joe Hendry and Trick down, they've had women's matches they've had cross promotional women's matches. Several NXT women have wrestled on TNA, and didn't end the TNA. And normally when the NXT folks go over to TNA, they're doing a job.
Yeah.
This is not Kenny Omega coming over there and just, punking out Rich Swann, and then taking the belt from him. This is not that. Okay. And I remember when that first partnership was first announced, there were a lot of people in TNA who were really excited, and nothing happened other than Kenny Omega at the top of, beating their world champion. That's all that happened. Right. And so here, look, I mean, again, there have been women's matches. There have been people up and down the card. Wesley reunited and then feuded with his former teammates that are over there. The Hardys were the TNA tag team champions that came over to NXT. Look, I'm going to say this, out of all the wrestling company partnerships that I have ever seen, this has been the most well done, mutually beneficial, functional one. Okay. And so far, there's always a concern about one company stealing the other company's people. The only person who's, Jordynne Grace was leaving anyway.
Yeah.
She had done her time in TNA. She had been there like 3 or 4 years. She had put in whatever time that needed to be put in. Okay. She was leaving anyway. So you can't say they stole Jordynne Grace. No, if Jordynne Grace didn't go to WWE, she was going to AEW. She was not staying in TNA. She had been there 3 or 4 years. Okay.
She was leaving TNA whether this partnership existed or not.
Yes. She would have been, again, if she hadn't come to WWE, she would be in AEW right now.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
So, and that's, so far, that's the only person who's jumped. And somebody who was jumping anyway. So this is not like when Jim Crockett, partnered up with Vern Gagne, and then one day, the Road Warriors were working for Jim Crockett. This is not that. Okay? This is not that. Right? This isn't All American Wrestling. Send us your tapes and we'll show them on our show Sunday morning and then we'll sign all your people. This was not, Vince did back in the early 80s. This is not that. Okay. Now, some people from TNA are going to jump because TNA there aren't that many people. You don't stay in TNA forever. You just don't. All right.
They're smaller company. Eventually, you got to go for the bigger money. And I'm not saying people in TNA don't get paid, but they're not paying WWE and AEW money.
They're not. And so nobody stays there forever. Okay. So they're not going down there and stealing people. All right. That's not what's going on here. Again, both company, like both people have done jobs on the other people's shows and it's been as, I think it's been probably as close to even as you could, you know, suspect. I mean, I don't tally up all the wins and losses, but it at least visually looks as if it's
close mutually to even, beneficial
or even enough.
Yeah.
Like nobody's getting buried here.
Right.
So as long as they pay it off, and they've already teased Mike Santana going after Trick. Mike Santana is a TNA wrestler. He is not a TNA guy he's not Ethan Page, okay?
Right.
Like if Trick loses to Ethan Page, then yes, you can say that this was some bullshit, okay? Okay. And, you know, but I don't think that's going to happen. And so ultimately, as long as he drops it to a TNA guy and a TNA guy who is not like, not Nick Nemeth, somebody who was, you know, has WWE branding all over him.
Right.
As long as it's not that, then I think we're fine.
Yeah. I think, then we won't kick this around too much because we got to go to a commercial break here in a minute. What'll be interesting is if this partnership continues, how the talent that used to work for WWE responds to this. There's a lot of talent currently on NXT or on TNA right now that are regulars that were released. You know, AJ Francis, what's her name? Ash Cabrera, is that what she's called? Ash by Elegance now, is that what she's calling herself? Yeah. Ash by Elegance, Indy Hartwell's now part of the Knockouts division. Zachary Wentz is over there. His wife, Gigi Dolan, was just released. So there's got to be hard feelings there. There's other people sitting there that's at Mustafa Ali. So it'll be interesting. You have Dolph Ziggler, Nick Nemeth. So there's a list of people working for TNA right now who you have to wonder, and I think most of them understand the business. And they understand that, hey, yeah, I may have some personal feelings over the way I was released or my spouse was released, but we're making money right now. If we're making money, I think I can probably let it slide. I think most of the people that are being released by WWE or AEW or anybody right now are doing okay because there are places to land. Jason, you got about a minute. You got any final thoughts on Trick Williams, new TNA World Heavyweight Champion?
I mean, like Rob, I hope they just stick the landing here. I hate to see it, you know, just resolve itself some stupid way. The TNA guys should get a big, big win over Trick, on one of their shows. It's probably going to happen because like Rob said, you know, if folks go over there, they do the job more often than not. And if they don't, it's a strong point in an ongoing story.
Yeah.
So I just, like you guys, when we were talking about this relationship, that once you talk about titles changing hands, then it's like, okay, this is where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah.
Now we have to play fair here.
All right.
So, we'll see.
We're going to go to a quick commercial break. When we come back, Rob's going to talk a bit of Double or Nothing. Before we go to commercial, I want to invite you to go over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. From there, you can look at, browse, peruse, if you will, all the t-shirt options available from your favorite Chairshot Radio Network podcast, including this one, the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Go over there, check out a t-shirt. The starving artists on this show will thank you. Your body will thank you if you spend a couple extra bucks and pick one up in soft style. That is prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. We're going to commercial. When we be back, we're talking Double or Nothing.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And we are back. You have been listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Lots of wrestling this weekend. Another big one. AEW had Double or Nothing. I didn't watch it. I don't know if Jason watched it, but I do know our resident genius, the Shoot Bear of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast.
Oh, I like it.
Rob, the floor is yours.
Okay, so what would possess me to turn my back on my beloved World Wrestling Entertainment to watch the Root Beer Show. Well, as some of y'all know, if you've been listening to the show, you know, I actually started watching, paying attention to the Root Beer Show last year. So I ordered this one because, well, for one, the Anarchy in the Arena match, that is always insane and just ridiculous and fun. And also they had the Owen Hart Memorial Tournament finals. One was Mercedes Money. It's not Monet. It's Mercedes Money. Against Jamie Hayter, and then Hangman Page against Will Ospreay. And this was, they won't admit it, but they very much needed to hit a home run with this show because, their last few pay-per-views, they've been leaving a bad taste in people's mouths. And, you know, because of this whole Death Riders thing, because they, you know, basically, they've been in there with Jon Moxley, getting people to help him win. And that's been some of you, the most diehard AEW fans, people, they want to be kind of souring on it because of all of that. So they very much needed to do something different, this time. And they did. So, Mercedes won the women's Owen Hart tournament, so she is going to face Timeless Toni Storm at All In. And that was a very good opener. And Tony defended her title on the show also against Mina Shirakawa. They had a good match. And then, there was the Anarchy in the Arena. And this was just fucking insane. And so one of the bits that, you know, that's part of this match is at some point, like, they start playing some song during the match and it plays on a loop. And then at some point in the match, somebody gets thrown into the speakers or they get thrown into the DJ booth, and then the music cuts off and then everybody starts booing. So this time, they start playing "Let the Bodies Hit the Floor." And so when they hit the chorus the first time, the whole building just blew up. You know, like it was the greatest thing ever. But of course, it was pointed out probably wasn't the best choice of songs given that this show was headlined by the Owen Hart Memorial Tournament. Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Let's not dwell on that. Yeah, it's a thing, but.
But it was a really fun match, and they were fighting all over the arena. And at one point, Swerve jumped up a forklift onto the Bucks, and Powerhouse Hobbs and Willow Nightingale did a double spine buster spot on Marina Shafir and somebody from the other team. And at one point, Willow speared three or four people, and her and Swerve did the Meltzer driver on, I forgot who it was. So they were just doing all types of crazy stuff, and it was a lot of fun. And then, the good guys trapped everybody except the Young Bucks in an ambulance. They trapped them in the ambulance so they couldn't get out. And then the Bucks were left in there with Kenny and Swerve, and Kenny and Swerve finished them off and won the match. And it was really a lot of fun. And they did a lot of crazy stuff. And it was, literally Anarchy in the Arena. They fall over the arena. And honestly, look, it that match by itself is worth paying the money to watch the pay-per-view.
That's one of those things. On you there, Rob,
they really found something with that.
Yeah.
To head on and do every year.
I've got a question for you as far as that match goes, because I've never seen one from a production standpoint, meaning like cameras and trying to keep all the action. How is AEW managing that? Like, are they doing a pretty good job at it, or is it kind of just...
Yeah.
Like,
they did, and now I don't know. Now again, the first time they did it, 5 years ago, it was probably a fucking disaster.
Yeah, but they've ironed out the kinks.
Yeah, I mean they do a good job of cutting from one place to another because at one point there'll be people fighting in the stands, and there'll be people fighting backstage, and the one good thing to do. Well, with the way the match is laid out, is you have to finish it in the ring. So eventually, everything comes back to the ring.
Okay.
And So that helps. I mean, that helps kind of, you know, kind of manage the chaos and all of that. And so it's, but it's really fun. It's worth, it's again, it, that by itself is worth watching, you know, ordering the pay-per-view for that it's on. I've watched the two of them now. I watched one last year. And so that was, and then also the, and one thing that was important, the Death Riders lost because they've been winning all of these matches and just being Debbie Downer on everything. So, and look, the purpose of the matches like this, or like the original War Games, it was so that the good guys could get a win over the Four Horsemen, but without taking any of their belts. But
right.
The good guys, when you have a dominant heel faction that's on a run, you got to get the good guys. Got to get a win in there somewhere.
Yeah.
And that's why Dusty came up with the War Games, so that he and his guys could get a win of some kind over the Four Horsemen. So that's why that's a perfect reason why you do these matches, and it was the perfect use of it here. And it was really fun. And then the main event was Hangman and Will Ospreay. And it was everything you expect those guys to do. They did everything. They kicked out of everything, you know, but it was really well done. And, you know, we talked about this before, one of the differences in those kind of matches is the execution. And if you execute the stuff well enough, then you know what, even though, yeah, you're doing too much, but if you execute it well enough, then we'll give you some grace. And we'll, yeah. And so they did that. They executed, they did execute everything great. And the important thing is that this is the kind of match that AEW was founded on and that it was built on, and their hardcore, diehard day one fans, this is what drew them to the company in the first place.
Right.
Like however we feel about those kind of matches, that, this is what brought them in.
It's
this
a love letter.
What made
to them
happy about AEW, and they haven't been, for like the last 6 months, they haven't been getting those, at least not at the end of the show. They might, so I think it was an excellent decision to end the show with that match, because that is the type of match that made AEW's biggest fans the happiest from day one. And so I think it was very, very excellent move to end the show with that match. And Hangman won, which was a shocker. I don't think anybody had him winning. And so now he goes on to All In to face John Moxley for the AEW World Title.
Want to pause real quick and apologize to our listeners. I live in Florida, and we've got a hell of a thunderstorm going on right now, so you're probably going to hear that in the background.
Well, let's hope it doesn't get too bad down there.
It's okay right now, but my bigger problem is I hope I don't lose power before we end the show. But go ahead, Rob. I didn't mean to cut you off. I just want to let our listeners know what was going on.
Oh, no problem. And so what I will say is, Tony, a word of advice. If Hangman is not going to win the world title, if Moxley is going to retain the world title, do not end the show with that. Okay? Do it in the middle. Do it at the beginning. If that is what is going to happen, then damn it, you need to end that show with Tony and Mercedes. Okay? Period. End of story. All right? And, because... And damn it, both of those girls deserve the main event of pay-per-view. Okay. Okay.
These are all roads lead to All In, right?
Yeah, All In is the big show.
Yeah, I think the women can main event your WrestleMania,
And, yeah, look, Tony has been, I've said she's been, the best woman wrestling character in the past couple of years. And Mercedes is Mercedes, and there's no reason why you can't have them main event that show, and especially if you're not booking Hangman to win, okay? Because nobody wants to see that show end with the damn Death Riders, okay? Standing tall over everybody. Yeah. If that's what you're going to do, then man, burn that shit early, okay?
I still think the play for there, and I could be way off base here, is Hangman ain't beaten Moxley. I still think Kenny Omega is the one who finally unseats Moxley. Because we're talking about comic book stuff here. Kenny Omega is the comic book hero to John Moxley's comic book villain. And ultimately, yes. Kenny wins. It's very short-lived because I think Ospreay turns on him. Because I caught images, and the end of the Ospreay match, he looked very dejected. And he's got that look on his face like somebody who's making some life decisions. And I see him turning eventually on Omega, eventually beating Omega for that, and eventually losing that to a returning Darby Allin. Because you got to remember, Tony is probably going to lean very heavy on Darby because Darby completed his climb of Mount Everest, planted the AEW flag at the top of Mount Everest. If you think Tony's not going to try and capitalize on that, you're nuts. So he'll probably try to capitalize on that. I could see at All In next year, Darby Allin and Will Ospreay for the AEW World Heavyweight Championship.
Well, now, so the kind of like in the kind of AEW fan circles that I kind of search out sometimes, the kind of popular belief is that Darby is going to be the one to actually beat Mockley. That he's going to, you know, that he's going to come down
on pull that trigger that quick. Because I don't think, my personal opinion, I don't think Darby Allin's the guy anyway. He's not the face of anyone's company. I'm sorry. The guy's a fine wrestler. He goes out there. He takes some crazy, insane, wacky bumps. He is not the face of anyone's company. But if you're going to ride that wave of him, you know, climbing Mount Everest, turning that into a story, bringing that on to TV, I can see a scenario where he eventually wins the AEW World Heavyweight Championship. But I don't think you do it in, you know, any time in 2025. I don't think that happens. I think you slow burn that and you build it up.
Yeah, I mean, I guess for me, he's not facing the company for me either. I think he's one of those guys. I mean, you know, he wins it just to, you know, to be the big underdog winning the title, and I think he just doesn't keep it very long afterwards.
Yeah. I think it's a nice story to tell in a bubble. You know, hey, this guy conquered Mount Everest. Can he come back and conquer John Moxley or Will Ospreay or whoever's holding the belt at the time? I think you can tell that story on TV and it's palatable, but long term, nah.
No. But I would just say that, again, I'll say it again. If you are not ending that, if Moxley is not losing that title, do not end the show with that match. And other than that, I will say, the rest of this year, I'd say they have an opportunity to regain some ground. Okay. They're never going to catch WWE. That's stupid to even think that. But they lost some ground last year. I think they have an opportunity to gain some ground back this year because, well, look, for the first time, they have some tactical advantages now. And there are two I'm thinking of that they have right now. One is that their shows are a lot cheaper to go to.
Yeah. Yeah. That's going to be the deciding factor.
That's one tactical advantage right now. And another one is that they don't require you to spend as much time watching it. Like they got 4 hours of TV every week and you only have to watch two of them.
Yeah.
And when you compare that to the sheer time commitment, it can be, if you're going to watch everything WWE, I mean, that's something they can, if they're smart, they could, that is something they can use to their advantage. They can say, look, you don't have to spend 10 hours watching everything we do.
AEW is finally easier to digest. In the early years, you had to watch Being the Elite. You had to dial into all the internet bullshit they were doing. And now it's literally Dynamite, Collision. You can digest it pretty easily.
Yeah. And you know, they don't have Dark and Dark Elevation and Rampage. They don't have all this stuff going on anymore. They have two shows. And And you again, you don't really have to watch Collision. If anything important happens on Collision, they tell you on Dynamite.
Yeah.
So that's, again, that is, if they're smart, we know Tony's Mr. Impulsive, so we, it's up to him to take advantage of this. But they have, there's opportunity here now.
Yeah.
And, back again in 1993, the WWF and Vince, they decided they were done with Hulk Hogan. And WCW saw an opportunity. And this is not going to be that. Okay. But they do have a chance to make up some of the ground that they lost. They have a couple of technical advantages that they can make use of if they're smart enough to do it.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I get a lot of the feeling from some of the things on Facebook and Twitter that I fall into that certain aspects of AEW are starting to turn that corner. Like, this event, by all standards and by everything that I'm seeing, some people could argue that Hangman and Ospreay was long. It was almost a 40-minute match.
Yeah.
So you probably could have wrapped that up in 25, maybe 30. But I ain't going to sit here and bellyache about it because I didn't watch it. So that was really the only complaint that I saw. From a quality standpoint, everything that I saw, they hit a home run. And with that talent depth, they should be. And I've said this, as much as critical of AEW as I have been, I have never had a bad word to say about most of that roster. And I want to try and give them another chance. I tried early on in the year, and they had me for a few weeks, and then they went back into the same tropey bullshit that turned me away to begin with. And the Death Riders thing was god-awful. And so I didn't, but I could try it again. I just wish, for the life of me, they would just stop mentioning WWE, and they can't. Will Ospreay, it's a new soundbite from him. Every week. It's a new quote from him every week. And I'm like, dude, you got what you wanted. You got the money you wanted, the schedule you wanted, and you still get to live in the UK. Okay? Stop. You won. In your little bubble, you won. Just go to work and do the job that you're paid to do. Quit mentioning them every other interview. Oh, we're catching up. Oh, our wrestlers are better. Oh, shut up. Wrestle. Entertain me. That's what you're being paid to do. I don't give a shit about whether or not you think you guys are catching up with WWE. If they could stop that, I could probably stomach that show for more than a couple of weeks.
Well, here's the thing. Okay. If somebody asks you, who's the best company, you should say your company. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, but you don't have to shit on the other people to do that, though.
Right. I look at it from our perspective. We're a podcast, and we are in competition with hundreds, realistically thousands, of wrestling podcasts at this point. I happen to think this podcast is pretty goddamn good. I think we have a unique cast of characters on here. We have some unique perspectives. All three of us, while we agree for the most part, our views on the way we agree differ. Mine from an in-ring perspective, Rob from just a sheer experience and numbers perspective, and Jason, of the three of us, probably looking at it the most through the fans' eyes. I think we're a damn fine podcast. I think we are better than a lot of podcasts that I've heard. I'm not going to name any names. I'm not going to shit talk them. I don't have to. I don't need to. And it's the same thing. If you're doing work that you enjoy and you're doing work that you think is quality, stand by your quality. Don't keep bringing up the other guys. I don't bring up our competition. I bring up guys from the Chairshot Radio Network only because we work together. But I don't compare numbers. I don't compare any of that. I don't compare my talent to Tunney's or Dave's or Patrick O'Dowd's or Greg DeMarco. I don't do that. I don't compare our quality to the guys from Three Count Thursday or anybody like that. We do a podcast, and I enjoy it. I think we're good, and we're going to keep doing that. If the people in AEW, specifically Will Ospreay, could just do that, I think the whole show and its fan base would be much more tolerable.
Yeah, because to me, it's like, I remember one time many years ago, John Thompson had Allen Iverson on his radio show. And he was asking Allen about different NBA players, about Kobe and Shaq and Mike, you know, and other people. And Allen Iverson, he talked about all of them in very glowing terms, right? And then John said, who's the best player in the league? And Allen said, me.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Right. And exactly. Right. I mean, so he talked great about all these other people. Who's the best? I am.
Okay.
And that's all you got to do.
That's all you got to do. You don't got to keep harping on it week after week. So, yeah, I'll probably give AEW another shot. I find myself with some free time here during the week, and I can throw them on for background notes. Because, and I've said this before, there are people there I really like. I adore Willow. You know, I love Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin. I could give a crap what they're doing with MJF right now. But it's going somewhere, so you just got to let it breathe and let it happen. There's other people there that I enjoy that I like seeing on my TV. So, you know, I'll probably give it another chance, and hopefully I can just breathe through the shit that just irritates me about them. It does. Jason, you have been awful silent for the last 22 and a half minutes, sir. Did you fall asleep? Did you? Hey, I got sound bites for Jason, too. I sure do. Jason, are you here?
I am. I just didn't have much to say about the AEW folks. I think that, I mean, based on what we watched Wednesday, because I didn't watch Double or Nothing, but I did watch on Wednesday, man, it's another time. I know, Rob, you're drawing a lot of interesting stories here, but keep it simple. Hangman should do it, I think.
I don't think he
and
knows.
Yeah, if you want to, you know, do something with Darby when he comes back or whatever, I mean, I don't know. That guy just does nothing for me as a performer, and like in the absolute end, what are you going to do with that picture? Like, it's amazing, and it's a feat probably only hundreds of people have done. I'm not taking anything away from that, but at the end of the day, how much mileage are you going to get out of that? So
I think it's something you do for a one-shot storyline. It's kind of like,
yeah, Hangman should just win it at all out, whatever it is, and put us out of our misery. All in Texas.
Okay. All right. Well, gentlemen, the only other thing, if we're done, Rob, are you done with Double or Nothing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just overall, I mean, it was too long, but. You know, they're hardcore fans, love that shit. So, and one of the things that happened over the past 6 months, they've been disappointing those people. So the first step to the first step to rebounding is to make the people happy who are most important to be happy. And
dance with the lady that brought you.
Yeah. Yeah. So look, people like me, you get people like me when you can, but you got to make your biggest, most loyal people, you got to make them happy. And they had not been making those people happy for like the past 6 months.
Right. So before we get out of here, something I wanted to mention that failed to last week, and I'm pretty embarrassed because we're usually pretty good about this stuff. When major injuries happen, we do try to bring it up, and we do try to wish well whoever got injured. Zoe Stark on Raw, at this point it'll be almost 2 weeks, had just a horrific knee injury. One of those things, and I don't know if Rob or Jason, you guys finally saw the video of it.
I made a point to avoid it.
It's very close to when Sid broke his leg. It's that hard to watch. I felt absolutely horrible for her. I've been high on Zoe Stark for a long, long time. This is a knee I think she injured a few years ago. Took her almost a year to rehab that. I don't know the extent of the injury, but looking at it, it ain't pretty, and I do not expect her back for the entirety of 2025. But I do want to wish her well. You hate to see anybody go down with an injury. We don't wish that on anybody, whether we like him as a wrestler or not. Zoe Stark happens to be a wrestler I'm quite fond of. So, you know, this one hits a little harder for me as a fan than, you know, others do. But, yeah, Zoe Stark, get well soon, and don't rush it back. You know, this wrestling thing will be here no matter what. It'll be here. I'd rather see you get healthy and come back.
Yes, agreed.
Oh, you go ahead, Jason. I'm sorry.
I just wanted to say agreed. Like, well wishes and get well soon, but don't rush back on account of us. Make sure you're 100%.
Yeah, I just did. Do not rush back. Take your time, you know, and yeah, and just, I mean, you know, speedy recovery, but don't rush back. And yeah, it sucks just to see this happen. I mean.
All right. Well, guys, on that note, I think we can probably get out of here. I want to go around the room and thank my co-host for another fun show. We're going to start with the resident high flyer here of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, Jason Sir. Thank you again for another fun show.
Always a pleasure, my friends. I always look forward to doing this, and this week was a treat, as always.
And the host of the Rob the Genius Podcast, Mr. Rob Sir, thank you again for another fun show.
Yes, always a pleasure. And now we have sound effects, so we're gonna be even more crazy now, folks.
Oh yeah, I got a soundboard, and once I figure this thing out and add a few more things, we are off to the races with this podcast. I've been promising you, the listeners, for a long time. Finally got my non-technical ass together, and again want to thank PC Tunney and the scientist DPP for helping me out on all the technical ends of that. You have been listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, again, part of the Chairshot Radio Network, where we remind you and encourage you to always use your heads. Remember, you can call it bro wrestling, you can call it sports entertainment, you can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring, and we're out of here till next week.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply. Available in app only.